Shalom. Welcome to Amazing Grace, Extraordinary Truth Ministries. I'm your host, Lydia, and the topic we have for today is a little different than the other times, although I will be incorporating what you've already heard, amen, the topics of psychology of repentance and mind games are actually interwoven in this particular topic. So our topic for the next few episodes or installments is entitled The Plumb Line. How do we measure up? The Plumb Line, how do we measure up? This will be part two, and this is an introduction to the Plumb Line. And the first thing I would really like to say with regard to the Plumb Line, and anytime we heard that, anytime we see it in scripture, it was with regard to judgment. And we know it was the people of God were being judged because they did not adhere to the standards, to the boundaries that Yahuwah had given to them in order to keep them safe and to keep them holy. I mean, it was to keep them safe and to keep them holy. It's interesting, the boundaries that the Spirit of the Lord has set. And we see, you know, the curses and the blessings that were applicable if they held to those boundaries. But the boundaries that he set was to actually keep us out of the hands of the adversary. We see what happened at the very beginning, and then when Adam and Eve went against the will of the Father, and they did disobey him, they and all of creation ended up in a separated state. We were separated from the Father, but now he's bringing his people back into a bond with him. And in order for them to stay within that bond, to stay within the realm of holiness, because Yahuwah is holy, he's holy in all that he does. There's nothing that he does that is not holy. And in order for us to be able to see him, in order for us to hear him and to understand his will for us, we have to walk holy as well. It means that we have to be holy. We have to be righteous. We cannot put on sin and think that we can still be able to stand upright before the Lord, because sin itself, it actually puts us in a state of being stupefied. Yahusha said it himself. Yeshua said it himself when he was he was giving them the parable of the seed and the sower. He talked about what happens to the mind. He said that their minds or their hearts, is the word he used, was waxed gross. And that term waxed gross means pahuno in the Greek. And that word pahuno means stupefied. It means their hearing, their heart, their minds were dulled. They were not able to see clearly. They could not see the vision. They could not understand the Father and the way that the word was going forth. And this is what happens, amen, when we fall away from the grace of God, when we are not walking holy, when we think we can do whatever we want to do. We see what it said in judgment, and in the book of Judges, the Father would send judges in certain periods of time to bring them back, to a place, to bring them back, amen, to the guidelines of the plumb line. There is a line of demarcation, amen, that is set in the earth. It's already been set. It's a line of demarcation between holy and unholy. Amen. And we see that is what's happening even in the midst of the earth. We see, amen, and it is going to become even greater. The line is going to become even more and more obvious. It's going to become more and more obvious even among those that say they are holy, whether or not they are holy. There's a line that's going to establish those that are truly holy and those that are truly not holy. But there have been things that have happened down through the history and down through time, amen, that took us out of sync with the Father. There have been changes that have been made to his word. There's been teaching that have been ingrained in us that were not biblical, that was not holy, that was not righteous, that came out of the mind of the adversary. And because men walked in their own way, yeah, we go back to what I was saying in the Judges, men did according to their own hearts. They did what was right in their own minds. They did what was right right according to their own heart. So those things that they thought were right, they did those. Even though some of them may have had the word of God before them, and the mouth of the prophet may have been speaking in the midst of them, they still did what was right in their own hearts and minds. And those things were unbiblical. They were not sound teachings. Amen. And men and women, they have itching ears, just as the word of God tells us. They have itching ears, and they want to justify their wrongdoing. They want to justify their weakness and call it strength. They want to justify it and say that this is what the Father is saying when he hasn't said it at all. Jeremiah spoke about the prophets that the Lord did not... The Spirit of the Lord said it through him that the Lord, he did not call those prophets. He did not put that word in their mouth. And yet they're speaking as if it is the word of the Father. And it's actually the word of the adversary to turn people away from the heart of God. And so now we have a plumb line in the midst of us. And how do we measure up? That's the question. The plumb line, part one, an introduction. The plumb line, how do we measure up? First, let's define plumb line. The New Oxford American Dictionary refers to the plumb line as a line with a plumb attached to it, used for finding the depth of water or determining the vertical on an upright surface. And so we gather that it is basically a string with a lead weight attached that is called a plummet. So that lead weight is called a plummet. And it's a tool that dates back to ancient biblical times and continues to be used today for the same purpose. It's a measure. It is a measurement of vertical accuracy, a standard for vertical accuracy and alignment that Yahuwah used to measure the alignment of his people to his holy standard, a measuring stick that gauges our alignment with the Most High and the judgment of being out of sync. The plumb line, how do we measure up? Amos 7, verses 7 and 8, it says, thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord was standing by a vertical wall with a plumb line in his hand. The Lord said to me, what do you see, Amos? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, behold, I am about to put a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will spare them no longer. Now that word plumb line comes from a Greek word that is called enoch, and it means a plummet. Plumb, a lead weight that comes from an unused root that means narrow. Note that word narrow. And man, look what Yeshua says about this. Matthew 7, 13 and 14, it says, enter through the narrow gate. Remember that word is plummet. It comes from an unused root that means narrow. So Matthew 7, 13 and 14, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but narrow is the gate and troublesome is the way that leads to life, and only a few will find it. See, narrow is the gate and troublesome in the way. So people want to do what's easy now. They don't want to have to go through anything. They don't want to have to do anything extra. They want everything to be instant and in their own timing and according to their own time frame and even according to their own plan. But that does not exist if we want to be right. If we want to be right in the Lord, we have to go according to his timing and his plan. We are his creation. He knows exactly what each and every one of us have need of. He knows the timing of our life. He knows when we were born, and he knows the date that is set that we will die. So we need to seek him. We have to seek him, and we must stay in that narrow way. That's why it's so important for us to have even time. Again, how do we measure up? Yeshua said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments. And so many of us, I mean, we push the commandments aside because somebody told us that the Old Testament is a moot point now. Those things are already done. That was the old covenant. But as we go through this series, I'm going to show you it's not moot at all. The Father is still speaking, even through the old covenant. He's still speaking. I mean, Yeshua came to establish that. He came to make it full. And even the word even says that, but people have misinterpreted scripture. We've been taught that. It's been ingrained in us. And so many of us have been going along the wrong path because of what we were told. But this path is a narrow one. So we have to get this understanding, and we have to get it now. It's important. Amen. Let's look at some more scripture. Luke 13, 23 through 25, it says, someone asked him, Adonai, are only a few going to be saved? And he said, strive to enter the straight, also interpreted narrow door, for many seek to enter in and will not be able to. They won't be able to because they strayed away from Yahuwah's boundaries, from his borders, from his laws, and from his commandments. When we stray away from the laws and commandments of Yahuwah, we get further away from his voice. And so other voices begin to speak to us, and we'll hear those voices before we'll hear his, because those voices are right in front of us and we've strayed away. So we have to get back, amen, to the place of strict adherence to the will of the Father. And that's what this is all about. It's so important for all of us, myself, for you, for my bloodline, for your bloodline. It's so important for us that we go back and look at the Word of God again. Look at the things that we've been taught. Look at those things that have been established throughout the centuries and throughout our generations. Some of those things were not of God. Some of those things he never said. Some of those words have been misinterpreted. Some of those words, amen, were twisted by the adversary himself to take us off course. But we have to go back and look at it. The plumb line. This is the plumb line series. How do we measure up? All right, let's look at more scripture. Isaiah 35 and 8, it says, well, basically, it speaks of a highway. Isaiah 35 and 8, it speaks of a highway that will be called the way of holiness. And it will be for those who walk on that way. The way of holiness, the standard by which Yahuwah shall measure all things. And the unclean or the lawless will not journey on that highway, nor will they be able to find it because of their lawlessness. Now, our strict adherence, our obedience to the laws and the commandments of Yahuwah, though, that is the reason that we will be able to be on that way of holiness. Without, if we do not strictly adhere and obey his will and obey his word, we won't be able to find the highway of holiness. Amen. Glory to Yah. Isaiah 28 and 17, we're still talking about the plumb line. Another way that the plumb line is written in the word is as a measuring line. We see it here, and I'm also going to give you the Hebrew definition here as well. Isaiah 28 and 17, it says, I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the level. Then hail will sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters will overflow the secret place. This word that is in the Hebrew for measuring line is miskaleth. It's miskaleth, and it's a weight or a plummet, a level or a leveling tool or instrument. So we see the plumb line is also called a measuring line. It is a standard measurement for vertical accuracy, Yahuwah's measurement of his holiness among the lawful and the lawless. But it was because of the lawlessness and impending judgment that this measuring tool is in use. My. Zechariah 1 and 16, it says, therefore, thus says the Lord, I will return to Jerusalem with compassion. My house will be built in it, declares the Lord of hosts, and a measuring line will be stretched over Jerusalem. Let's keep going. Jeremiah 31, verses 38 through 40. It says, behold, days are coming, declares the Lord, when the city will be rebuilt for the Lord from the tower of Hananel to the corner gate. The measuring line will go out farther straight ahead to the hill Gareb, and it will turn to Goa, and the whole valley of the dead bodies and of the ashes and all the fields as far as the brook Kindron to the corner of the horse gate toward the east shall be holy to the Lord. It will not be plucked up or overthrown anymore forever. Come on, let's go. Zechariah 2 verses 1 and 2. It says, then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, there was a man with a measuring line in his hand. So I said, where are you going? And he said to me, to measure Jerusalem, to see how wide it is and how long it is. Isaiah 1, 21 through 24, how the faithful city has become a harlot. She who was full of justice, righteousness, once she who was full of justice, righteousness once lodged in her, but now murderers. Your silver has become dross, your drink diluted with water. Your rulers are rebels and companions of thieves. Everyone loves a bribe and chases after rewards. They do not defend the orphan, nor does the widow's plea come before them. Oh, my God, we see those things happening even now. But I'm going to read more. Isaiah 59 and 14. Justice is turned back, and righteousness stands far off. It stands far away. For truth has stumbled in the street, and uprightness cannot enter. 2 Kings 21 and 13, I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab, and I will wipe Jerusalem as one wipes a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. Isaiah 34 and 11, but pelican and hedgehog will possess it, and owl and raven will dwell in it, and he will stretch over it the line of desolation and the plumb line of emptiness. We see judgment here. Come on, y'all. Let's listen. Lamentations 2 and 8. The Lord determined to destroy the wall of the daughter of Zion. He has stretched out a line. He has not restrained his hand from destroying. And he has caused rampart and wall to lament. They have languished together. Zechariah 4 and 10. For who has despised the day of small things? But these seven will be glad when they see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. These are the eyes of the Lord, which range to and fro throughout the earth. The plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel, or Zerubbabel, depending on how your pronunciation. These are the eyes of the Lord, which range to and fro throughout the earth. Now to address the elephant in the room. Who made all these changes without Yahuwah's consent? Some of these were some of the ecumenical councils that happened early in early Christianity. A lot of the changes that we see and now even adhere to, many of us, were made after the death of the apostles. We see throughout scripture where they were addressing issues as they came up, and the written word is there for us to go back and see and even judge those that are speaking words that are not according to the standard of Yahuwah and words that he never spoke to us. And yet we see these councils that came forth in the early church that made many changes that, again, we are still adhering to. But this is the plumb line. Amen. And this is And in this, we are referencing these things so that we will again adhere to the strict instruction and boundaries that Yahuwah has placed and put in place for each of us, so that we will be in obedience to Him and not in rebellion. I mean, sometimes we are in rebellion without even knowing it. And I believe that is the case for many of us who have been maybe churchgoers our entire life. We've been learning these things our whole life. We did, and of course, our teachers gave us the understanding that they had, but many of us trusted in those teachers so much that we didn't even pick up our Bibles. We didn't even go back to seek any references. And those of us that did, I mean, we didn't have enough references to get the correct understanding. And maybe we were not spending enough time in prayer to get a revelation from the Father. And I believe both of those are true of most of us. I'm not going to say all of us, because I'm going to say most of us, because now we are in a state of being awakened from those being awake. This is a time of awakening when He has given us knowledge like never before, wisdom like never before, and understanding like never before. He's opening up things to us that were not open in the past. So now there are things on the internet. We're seeing where things happened way back in the early church. I mean, and like in the years that were 300 and something, we're seeing where things were that happened in the early church, and even we're here hearing and seeing those things that we were told about, like the Council of Nicaea. Most people know about the Nicene Creed and that kind of thing, but most people don't know what all happened during that council. So a lot of those things are about to come out in this series. It's so important that we know that, because there are things that we have to put back in order, because they were taken out of order and out of context during some of those councils. And you know what? It just is what it is. These are things that we have to fix. Amen. Even in the presence of the Father. And I praise Yahuwah that the psychology of repentance went forth before this. And He knew that it went forth before this, because we have to have a lifestyle of repentance. Amen. We have to take off things and put on things. And that's what we're going to be doing in the midst of this study, in the midst of this Plumb Line series. We're going to be taking off some things, and we're going to be putting on some things. Glory to the Father. We're going to be taking off and putting on. Amen. We give glory and honor to Yeshua, the author and the finisher, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, because we're going to need Him every step of the way. Amen. To help us. Amen. To digest these things. Amen. That have been added, and to understand that this was not biblical. This was not the words of Yahuwah. And what they did was not right in His sight. And yet they did it anyhow. So now we have to come before the Father. Amen. With prayer and with fasting, we have to come before the Father, consecrating before Him, so that we can correct the things that were incorrect, so that we can come correct before Him and adhere to His strict instructions for us as the body of Christ. So let's talk about these ecumenical councils, and that's what they were called. Ecumenical meaning basically a melding of minds, a group of people that have come together from different understandings and different mindsets, but they're coming together, I'm going to say, quote unquote, in unity to come to a decision about something. And you know what, in the back of my mind, even as I'm teaching this, I'm wondering, well, but who was directing you? Did you invite the Holy Spirit into these meetings? And as we're going to find out, we're going to see the Holy Spirit was not invited, because I say that because of the findings, because of what we find happened during those times. Amen. So let's take a look at this. So again, these were called ecumenical councils. Thus here, these were some of the pertinent, and I'm just going to give you some of the pertinent details of these councils. Of course, they were long. Many of them were drawn out, and some of them may have been even over days. Of course, I'm not giving you that much information, but hopefully I'm giving you enough so that you'll have enough to go back and study for yourself. It's important that you do that. With every word that you receive, it's important that you take those those words back to the Father, that you go back to Him and that you study for yourself. The Word of God tells us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation. There will not be an apostle or a prophet standing with you when you go to judgment. There won't be a prophet or an apostle standing with me. None of my leaders will stand with me when I stand before the Lord in the end. It will just be me standing before Him, accounting for the things that I did in this body. So it's important that we do that as we're learning and as we're in schools and of education or whatever kind of education it is. It's important that we be able to separate fact from fiction, and it's important that we know, understand, have a good understanding of what the will of the Lord is and what His word is saying to us. And that's why we must even go into prayer every day, asking Him what His will is even for the day. Amen. Amen. That was just a side note. Let's go on. All right. In AD 321, AD is Anno Domini. It's a Latin for year of the Lord. So in the year of the Lord 321, and I'm going to talk about, let me just go on because I'll get ahead of myself. All right, in AD 321, Emperor Constantine ordered that Sunday, and this was an order aside from a council, because this wasn't an actual council. This was just an order that Emperor Constantine had put forth. So Emperor Constantine ordered that Sunday be the official worship of the sun, also known as the Lord's Day of the Sun, as in the God of the Sun, aka Apollo or Sol Invictus in Rome, Helio among the Greek, and Ra in Egypt, and also referred to as the Lord of the Roman Empire. So Apollos was also referred to as the Lord of the Roman Empire. And referring to this day, they referred to this day as the venerable day of the sun, where he ordered no labor take place on this day. All shops and businesses were closed. It should be noted that pagan worship of the sun god was already in place prior to this day becoming law. And he also made this day a type of Sabbath for pagan worship. It should further be noted that early Christians and Jews observed Saturday as Sabbath prior to this civil law. But this is where the thought that Sunday is Sabbath came about, because it actually was, but for pagan worshipers. It's also where the Lord's Day seems to have derived, but it actually referred to the Lord of the Sun, not the Son of the Most High. Oh, what a tangled web of deception that was woven, and it gets worse. The Council of Nicaea was ordered by Emperor Constantine in AD 325. Its main theme, to confirm Christ's deity. There was a lot of contention due to some warring factions among early believers that were often in dispute about Christ's deity. So they were there to confirm Christ's deity. And also in this council, it was ordered that Passover be abolished and that the Lord's Supper was to be kept on Resurrection Day. But Constantine called for it to be replaced with what he called, and this is in quotes, the more legitimate festival of Easter, which was the festival celebrating the Roman goddess of spring, Oestre. Passover was abolished, and their further celebration of Yeshua as their Passover was deemed Easter after the goddess, and would be celebrated the first Sunday that comes after the full moon of the vernal equinox. And just like that first universal, just like that, they had that first universal Easter Sunday, it was born. Enter eggs and bunnies, the roasting of pigs and colors of springtimes mingled into current celebration that is still called Easter. But again, it is after the goddess. But it's said to honor Yeshua, our Passover, yet intended all along to pay homage to another god, Listen to me. I hope you heard me. If you need to listen to this again, please tune in again to listen to it again. This is important information because we have to fix this. Nevertheless, let me go on with my note. Nevertheless, this is at least one of the root causes many still do regard Passover. Many still do not. Let me again say, this is at least one of the root causes many still do not regard Passover as a feast, or at least have misunderstandings about scripture that has been taken out of alignment. Easter is only mentioned one time in scripture, and it has been since noted as a mistranslation in the King James Version of the word Pascha, which in every other verse of the same version of the Bible is translated Passover. Let's read it. Acts 12 verses, and I'm reading from the top, verses 1 through 4. Now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. The word for Easter here is Pascha, which refers to the Passover lamb, such as Pascha in Hebrew also refers to the Passover lamb, not Easter. It refers to the goddess. Easter refers to the goddess, not Passover. But this verse was misinterpreted and should have said Passover, not Easter. Now I understand the history, that history says Constantine was a convert, but it also shows that he continued to make concessions for those of his very pagan polytheistic kingdom. Let's look at one more scripture before moving on. 1 Corinthians 5 and 7, it says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover," and that's that same word Pascha that was misinterpreted in the scripture in Acts. So even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. We see here in Paul's writing that Christ is our Passover that was sacrificed for us. And then there's a semicolon, and it says, therefore. Now, because of all this, and that's what therefore means, because of all this, let us keep the feast. What feast? The feast of the Passover. All right. In AD 364 was the Council of Laodicea. This is where they specified the correct quote unquote Christian Sabbath day as the same as what was called the veneral day of the sun, and in keeping with, of course, Easter Sunday that had already been established, despite the commandment to keep Yahuwah's Sabbath on the seventh day. And this is one thing I would like to express here. So many like to say that the Sabbath is for the Jews, but it's actually Yahuwah's Sabbath, just like it was Yahuwah's feast. So when people like to tell you that the feast, that's just for the Jews. They were Yahuwah's feast, and it is Yahuwah's Sabbath. So we need to keep that in mind. These are the Lord's Sabbath. They are his Sabbath. They don't belong to a certain people. They belong to him. So we need to have that understanding even as we make these course corrections. Amen. Amen. Glory to the Father. Amen. Let's go on. Now, they had several rulings on this day, and I know this because I'm about to talk to you now about the 59th and the 60th rulings that happened on during the Council of Laodicea in 364. And in the 59th ruling, they declared which books that they deemed as canon would be read in the churches. In the 60th ruling, they specified which books. And those were the traditional 27 of the New Testament, except Revelation. Get that. And I will get back to that. And the 39 books of the Old Testament, plus the book of Baruch and the epistle of Jeremiah. The apocryphal books, apocryphal meaning hidden, were considered useful but not sacred or inspired readings. So they classified them in a separate category, despite the fact that contained in the accepted, despite the fact that contained in the accepted canon was the scripture that says all scripture is inspired in 2 Timothy 3:16. And that verse says all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, amen. It's interesting that the book of Baruch was included in, as well as the epistle or letter of Jeremiah, neither of which are included in the Bibles that we can readily buy on the store shelves today. But listen to an important passage in Baruch. It's chapter 4, verse 8. For as it was your mind to go astray from God, so being returned, seek him 10 times more. Wow. Isn't that what we're doing now as we're coming back into the alignment of the plumb line? We're coming back, even though it wasn't our mind. I guess it was our mind, because we continued in that path, not even asking any questions a lot of the time. But anyway, moving on. Now, this is what I hear when I read this. So you left right standing and right fellowship with Yahuwah to do what was right in your own eyes. Yes. So now that you have teshuvah, now that you've returned, now that you have changed your mind, metanoia, to what is right, what is true, what is holy, chase hard after him 10 times more and 10 times faster than before. Redeem the time and don't look back again. My God, that's what we're doing. Amen. That's what we're doing. Glory to God. So we seek to unlearn the dogma that was implanted, ingrained, and retrieve the truth with greater effort than we did when we were learning the things that were unbiblical, retracing the steps of those who changed the words of Yahuwah, putting them back in place, putting those words back in place in our hearts, so we not be named among the lawless in his presence. Now back to Revelation, because remember, in this particular council, they removed Revelation from the inspired canons of scripture. Now, it was not put back into canon until the Council of Carthage, and I will get to that. But it comes later in time. So it's going to be quite a few years later that Revelation is put back among the inspired canon of scripture. All right, let's move on. So remember, this is, again, I want to say, this is part one of the Plumb Line series, How Do We Measure Up? And this is the introduction. So we're in AD 321 now, and this is the Council of Constantinople. The main themes were further discussions of Christ's deity and revision to the Nicene Creed. So they didn't even keep the Nicene Creed the same. The discussion regarding Christ's deity resulted in a strong rebuke of Arianism. Arianism was a heretical teaching derived from Arius of Alexandria, Egypt. He was a false teacher and priest in the early 4th century of the church. His false doctrine was eventually denounced as false after centuries of debate. For more information, look up Arius and Arianism. It's important to note that the revisions to the Nicene Creed was very contentious as well and increased the divide between the Roman Catholic Church and the Greek Orthodox Church. They were part of the ecumenical council, and the contentions was part of what led to what is called the Great Schism. And this is when the church was divided into the Western Church, which was the Roman Church, and the Eastern Church, which was the Greek. This is also around the time the Western Church, which again is the Roman Church or the Roman Catholic Church, required clergy to be celibate, but the Eastern Church allowed clergy to retain their ability to marry. There is a lot of debate on the timing of this. But the most consistent is between 1375 and 1417. And I realize I'm giving you a lot of information that happened far later than these councils. But because of the contentions surrounding these issues, that's where that Great Schism came in. And of course, it came much later because those contentions continued, because they continued to debate things year after year and century after century until they finally separated. And I'm going to talk about even further, because we just talked about this, the Great Schism happening around 1378 and 1417, and like a cell continued to proliferate or divide, the Great Schism was the forerunner to the Protestant Reformation. The Protestant Reformation was a theological revolt that refused the superiority, the abuses, and the totalitarianism of the Roman Catholic Church and its claim of apostolic succession, that it said, and the fact that it said that it was the only true church and that its pope had preeminence over the church. This divide, Protestantism, is where the denominations we now see came out of, because like a cell that continues to proliferate and divide, divisions are made. Division being being those disagreements with one another regarding scripture that has prompted so many denominations, divisions. Division is still the same today as it is written in the scriptures, because the denominations divide us, and the thing that actually promotes the unity is staying in strict adherence with the will and the commandments, the laws of Yahuwah. That is the only place we will find unity. Everything else will divide us, thus our denominations. Yahuwah said, "He is the vine and we are the branches. Now each branch grows branches, and that branch grows branches, and the branchings grow branches, and eventually branches break off and form their own root systems, but continues to claim they are part of the vine." Oh my. And that's what we see happening. We see branches that have actually broken off from the vine and have grown their own root system, but they still claim to be a part of the vine. They're still claiming to be a part of Yahuwah. But we know it is our works that goes forth that actually will show that we are His or if we are not. And again, that line of demarcation, amen, it's going to become more and more obvious as time goes on. We will know who really is holy, who really is unholy. We will know who really is true, who really is untrue. We will know those that have been promoting lies and those that are promoting truth. We will know. Glory to God, because we are going to strictly adhere to the will of the Father. We are going to dig so deep and chase so hard that we can't see anything but the will of God. We can't see anything but His will. That's what we're doing. This is the Plumb Line series. How do we measure up? My God, let's be real. There is one body. I know, like, one body. There's one body, one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Adonai, one faith, one baptism, one Elohim, and the Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But because we have not endeavored to keep the unity of the Spirit, we have infighting and denominations, or rightly stated, divisions. This is Plumb Line. This is part one, an introduction to the Plumb Line. How do we measure up? AD 397, the Council of Carthage. This is in North Africa. In this council, canon was again discussed. When I say canon, I am again speaking of the Holy Scriptures or the books of the Bible. In this council, they rendered a list of books they considered acceptable. Okay, side note. The word acceptable stands out. Even as I say it, because only Yahuwah can tell us what is acceptable. Who told them what was acceptable in these councils? Did their authority come from Yahuwah, or did it come from the adversary who uses men as pawns in his diabolical game of chess, moving each of us like pieces on a board in order to take us further away from the King who is King of Kings? I think about that question that Yahuwah asked Adam and Eve often in the garden. Who told you you were naked? Who told you that? We really must understand who said what and when in this age. The enemy is ruthless, and we have to be at least, oh my God, we have to really understand what the will of the Lord is. Because the enemy, he is ruthless, and we have to be at least one move ahead of him. And that is only possible if we are in tune with Yahuwah and keeping his plumb line in our sights. Back to this history. Now, in this Council of Carthage, they listed the 27 books of New Testament and the 39 books of the Old Testament, also adding the books of Maccabees and Esdras. Nevertheless, still rendering the remainder of the apocryphal books or scriptures, again, that means hidden, rendering them again uninspired. I'm going to actually end our study right here, and I hope that you have enjoyed this. This is part one of an introduction to the plumb line. How do we measure up? Amen. I have so much more, amen, to tell you. This is going to be a series. As I said, it's going to be a plumb line series. How do we measure up? Again, this has been the introduction. I hope you will stay with me, amen, for part two of the plumb line. How do we measure up? God bless you and keep each and every one of you. If you'd like to get in touch with me, my email is amazinggraceextraordinarytruth@gmail.com. amazinggraceextraordinarytruth@gmail.com. I'd be happy to hear from you if you have questions and even comments about the Plumb Line series or any other topic that I have taught from. Please feel free to contact me. And even if you have things you'd like to see covered under the Plumb Line, I will consider it if you'd like to let me know. Thank you and God bless. Shalom.